Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, Maya Lau here, and thanks for tuning in to Other People's Pockets. Don't forget that we'd love to hear from you at otherpeoplespockets@gmail.com about your thoughts on the show, suggestions for guests, or anything else. And please subscribe or follow this podcast on whichever podcast app you use. Give us a rating and a review and tell a friend about it. All of it helps support this show.
So I don't do single family rentals anymore because I got it. I understood. I own four sub-$200,000 townhomes in a very popular city. I'm taking away starter homes and I can understand how that's a problem. And so I should not do that. Mm-hmm. So I buy multifamily.
My guest, Deandra McDonald, is a real estate investor and social media influencer with more than 320,000 followers on her TikTok, which is at Simple Real Estate. She became financially free at the age of 28 after 5 years of house hacking, which is where you buy a property, live in it, and get roommates or other tenants so that they pay your mortgage for you. I'm excited to talk to Deandra because she can speak to the power of not getting what you want. In her case, graduating with a chemistry degree and not being able to use it and doing lifeguarding and teaching instead. And she turned that difficulty into motivation for an entirely unexpected career where she has to think about septic tanks all day, yet has a lot more financial security. I'm Maya Lau, and this is Other People's Pockets, the show where I ask people how much they make and how their finances work so that the questions we all have about money can be a little bit less of a mystery. Deandra McDonald, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Where am I reaching you today?
I am in my office/playroom. So this is like, I have a bed in the background. I nap. I have my Pokemon set up. I have my art. This is where I get to paint and do whatever I want. Mm. No one is allowed in here but me and the pup. It's wonderful.
Nice.
But I'm just at home today.
Ooh.
Just like I get to do whatever I want in here and nobody cares.
And so your husband's not allowed?
No.
Does he have his own room?
He does have his own room. That's his room to do whatever he wants to do. Lots of Philadelphia Eagles things, you know, lots of jazz. Yep.
So who are you and what do you do?
My name is Deandra McDonald. At this point, I probably do more social media than anything else. But I am a real estate investor. That's kind of how it all started.
But you do more social media now than real estate?
Yes. I think a combo of social media is very lucrative and it's very, you got to hit now because you don't know if it's going to be here in a few months, years, when I look at my social media money, it is cash, but my real estate money is a salary. Right. So I'm not making long-term decisions based on social media money where I would for my real estate money. Because who knows? You know, TikTok was on the chopping block like a month ago.
Right.
So it's nice to have all those followers, but these things can go at any moment where my real estate is not. That's not going to just poof and disappear.
Right.
The other part is I've just gotten better at real estate. So it should take less time as you get better with it. It should, the system should take over. So yeah, it was like, I have all this free time now. So what should I do? TikTok it is.
I was wondering if you can speak to the meaning of home ownership for you personally and how that may come out of your family or not.
Yeah, home ownership meant you control your space. There was never this threat of eviction. There was never this threat of non-renewal. Because number one, with mortgages, it doesn't foreclose that fast. So even if you don't pay, it's a solid 90 days before you're getting anywhere with that, which is very different from some states in terms of their non-payment for rent. And this is before I knew insurance goes up and taxes go up. But it felt stabilizing that somehow you could just pay this. And as long as you kept working, you could keep your place and raise a family. But there was never this expectation that it was going to be beautiful, that it was going to be an Architect Digest, right? Mm. There was never this expectation that anybody would be jealous of the way it looked. Mm-hmm. It was just, but you own this box. This is your box. But it was the expectation that you would eventually buy a box.
Where are you from and what's your background?
Yeah, I'm a military brat. We settled in New York. My dad is Army or retired Army. We settled in New York where a lot of the rest of my family was. I grew up in Harlem when Harlem was still very Black, but very working class. So people like had a decent living, but were absolutely going to work every day. I don't remember vacations, right? You might take a day off because you're just like too ill to work. But I don't remember adults taking a week off to travel, right? You traveled over holiday weekend, so Memorial or Labor or Christmas, but it was never showed that there could be something else, that other than 40 years of wage labor, that there wasn't another option. And so I went to high school, did super well, went to college, did okay. College is a lot harder than high school. And I graduated with a degree in chemistry and kind of hit a wall because I graduated with about $28,000 in debt. And it's wild to say that now because it feels so low.
Now you're like $28,000.
Right. It feels, but even that is a wild statement.
Because it is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
What year did you graduate?
2013.
Okay.
So I was working a bunch of part-time jobs trying to make ends meet. And those first debt payments were so hard because I couldn't get a job in my field.
And do you remember like what the monthly debt payment was?
It was $280.
Mm-hmm.
The car was $250. And again, that doesn't feel like a lot for a car payment. But when you're making $10 an hour, yeah, plus rent, plus electric, plus gas and insurance and the cell phone and bringing home $2,000 a month, knowing you have $1,500 in bills, I can't even take care of myself. And if I look at the American dream I've been given, where are kids coming in? Hopefully my dog, good thing I got a shelter dog, which you hope is just not inbred enough and stays healthy, right? You're just like, please don't have like hip dysplasia because I don't have it.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going to look at my dog or even myself. There was a lot of times where you're like, this feels like anaphylaxis. But I'm just going to take a Benadryl and hope I don't need to use this EpiPen because I can't refill it. Right. And I got my first job as a lab tech. I was hyped because, again, I got to refill an EpiPen. That was very exciting. Mm-hmm. But that was $28,000 a year. So now I'm making $2,500 consistently, but I do have days off. I can retire, like put money into retirement. But it was still what's left.
Yeah.
This feels like a lot of work. to have a car that's going to be old in a few years, to have an apartment that went up the following year. It was like, I was barely doing the seven to now say 800. I don't have another $100 for insurance to go up and food. And so I just had to look and be like, okay, what can I give up? I can't give up these loans. I wish I could give the degree back. I promise. But I cannot. I need my car because I don't live in a city.
Right.
So the only thing I could give up was my housing. Now, I couldn't give it up in the sense of like living in my car. This is also before hashtag van life. But I figured if I'm paying $800 for a one bedroom, if I can just get a mortgage less than $800, mm-hmm. then I'm saving. Mm-hmm. And if I can get a mortgage less than $800 and get a roommate, then I could potentially wipe out. But that's the only one I got, mm-hmm. right? So I looked into buying a house. I make $28,000. Right? Come on. Give me that pre-approval. I'm ready to see it.
Banks are going to love me.
This is the height of like Trading Spaces, House Hunters, like the Property Brothers. I'm like, I'm going to be choosing waterfall islands. Like that's where we're talking what range of marble. And the first time I went to get approved, she like chuckled and was like, yeah, no, you have a lot of credit card debt. You haven't been here long enough for this income to count. You have student loan debt. You have a car loan.
You're 22. You have no savings,
23 at this point. And it's like, okay. And your credit is trash.
Right.
So literally every qualification, the answer is no. But I listened. And she, after her chuckle, she did tell me what I needed to do. She's like, you need to pay off your credit card debt. You need $5,000 or $4,000 maybe. And the credit card debt will up your credit score and you need a full-time job. Come back when you have all of those things and we'll see what happens. And it took a year and a half mm-hmm. working weekends, right? I had my regular job, but I still worked Friday nights, I think, and like Saturday days and Sundays and paid off the credit card and volunteered a lot because they give free food. So just really was like at any moment, I'm like, I'm there.
Not transactional at all.
At all. And then I went back and she was like, awesome, you're approved for $85,000.
For an $85,000 house.
$85,000, whatever. Yeah. And I remember going to my realtor. I was looking on Trulia, now by Zillow, and just being like, all I need is two bedrooms. And if I can't, it needs to be cheap enough that it's at least less than this $800. And I also have 3 months. My lease is ending May 31st. So go. And again, I put in all of those qualifications with such pride. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a long list of things. I cannot wait to pick and choose. And two options popped up. One was a fire, right? A burnt out building. And one was a two-bedroom condo or two-bedroom townhouse. Mm-hmm. We went to see the burnt out one first, though. And he was like, nope, it's burnt out. It's what they said. So I was like, because maybe it's just a little ugly, you know, maybe a little kitchen fire. No, it was the whole house. The second one was the house I wound up buying. It was the only, and it was listed at 84.5. And the whole time we went to see it, we kept being like, what's wrong with it? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with it? What's wrong? We're knocking on walls and trying to read humidity. We're looking, we had an engineer come like measure the structural integrity. Like, what is wrong with this property?
What was wrong with it?
Nothing. I still have that property to this day. I mean, it had a parking space. Literally, we're like, there must be a lien against it. It must be. And she just was an old lady trying to sell.
And at this point, how old were you?
So I bought my first place at 24 and then just kept buying every year for the next like kept going.
How much will that property go for today?
It was recently appraised at 215 because I got the PMI taken off.
What's PMI?
Oh, the private mortgage insurance. As a residential loan, primary residence, you have PMI if you put down less than 20%. I put down 3% because remember, I had $4,000. And so they add on this extra fee that says if you default, the lender can go to Fannie Mae or mm-hmm. Freddie Mac, whoever it is, and get their money back. Mm-hmm. This is now Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac's problem. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a lot, depending on how much your property was. For me, it was $40. And so the difference between coming up with $3,000 versus $25,000 was an extra $40 a month. Yeah. So be it. But once you get below, think 78% of the value in terms of what you owe, you can get it removed. And so like, I got to remove last month. But again, I was in a place, and I like to quantify these, qualify these statements now, it was cheaper, right? So my second townhouse was 140, but that's still, when I say that now in 2023, that feels very inexpensive for a three bedroom, two bath.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet, but you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now. Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to musora.com, M-U-S-O-R-A.com, to start a new musical journey today.
So you get this property, you move in. I'm guessing you do the house hacking thing. And
yes. So when you're house hacking, you're buying it to live
in. You start house hacking, you're buying properties throughout your 20s, you're teaching. And then at what point do you pivot to being a full-time real estate investor and TikTok star?
Probably in 2018, I realized I wanted to scale up. I have 4 townhouses and a condo, and the condo was my Airbnb. That was doing super well. This is also the wild, wild west of Airbnb, where states had not picked up on what was going on at all. And so if you were on it, you were killing it. And I was like, I can do bigger. I have the money now. Because again, I'm still living, like I make $28,000. I'm still driving my 2012 Kia. I'm still going shopping on Tuesdays because that's when the manager special meets are released. I am still living very small.
And at this point, you're making how much?
As a teacher, probably like 51. So I'm still living very small. Mm-hmm. We were house hacking. So my husband and I were house hacking while we were engaged. We stopped house hacking in 2018. So it was that same year because he was like, enough. I'm tired of roommates. And I was like,
And how many units do you own now?
28, 30.
And is it all in your same area?
The 30 is what I own myself. When you say something like, I own 1,000, it's like, no, you own 2% of a business that owns 1,000. That's a weird thing to say because you don't. Yeah. So the 30 that I fully own myself are all in the same area. And then there's probably another 20 that I co-own with people elsewhere.
And How much money do you make now from all your properties?
Yearly rentals, probably about $70,000 to $75,000. Yeah, sorry, $70,000 to $75,000 profit for the year.
And then how much do you make from your social media stuff?
Oh, last year was over six figures, 125, 100, somewhere like that. Yeah, so late 2021, I started to get sponsors. And then 2022, really, the consistent contracts started coming in, which was really nice. And then into this year, again, more like I understand more how this is supposed to work. And at first, it was a lot of hate watching, because being a landlord on social media put me in front of people who disagree with me for the first time. Instagram gives you to people who want you. That's it. Where TikTok puts you in front of people who will watch, but that doesn't mean they enjoy your content. And so when it first started, there was a lot of like, I had to learn who Mao was, because there was a lot of like, Mao was right. And apparently Mao hates landlords, and a lot of like, you're a leech, capitalist pig, like a lot of that.
And sorry, we're talking about Mao, the Chinese communist leader.
Yes.
Okay.
I think.
Well, how do you think about that now? Do you feel like there's any kind of upper limit to how many homes it's okay to own?
I don't have an answer. I do think that there are better ways to do this, though. Mm-hmm. And I had mentioned to somebody, like, I got out of single families. So I don't do single family rentals anymore, because I looked up and I got it. I understood. I own four sub $200,000 townhomes in a very popular city, which means that other families who would want to buy townhomes are not able to buy the sub $200,000 condo. Like, I'm taking away starter homes, and I can understand how that's a problem. And so I should not do that. So I buy multifamily. There should be limits, but I don't have a specific answer on how that looks to get.
Yeah, no, I mean, part of the reason why housing even has value and it grows in value so much is because it's scarce. And the scarcity is also what leads to people who are unhoused. Like, people can't afford whatever the price is to live in the type of house that they want, or even to live in any house. So I do think the main problem is like these big hedge funds that literally buy up thousands of homes in smaller towns across America and the world. But also, like, it is interesting to be, you know, a mom and pop person, like landlord, who is basically owning other people's homes and like making your living off of it. Like, those are people's homes. I'm a renter. I don't own anything. I've only rented, you know, and I do consider the place that I live right now my home. I hope that my landlord, I mean, I don't think my landlord really cares that much, but you know, like, when something goes wrong, it's like, you know, that this is like my home. Like, do you feel like you're providing homes for people, or do you feel like this is a business and
Oh, great question.
I need to make money and they need to pay?
I don't think that those two things are opposite, but it was a business. It was like, I'm providing you this home. I'm providing these services to make sure that this is doing well. But that's also because I saw housing is very transitional until you bought.
I saw a recent video of you walking through what it looks like to evict someone. Can you talk to me about what that is like?
It is not pleasant. I do think that if you break your lease, that I should have that ability to evict. But that's because I have thought very deeply about what I put in my lease. And so if it's in there, there's a reason it's in there. Just like if I say you shouldn't bring in someone who I don't know to live there, right? It's not because I'm nosy. It's because, hey, you might be over legal occupancy. If this is a two-person apartment, that's all you can have. I'm sorry. Like, you can't have a third person because the fire department says you can't. Or I have kids in this building. I need to do a background check on everybody so I can tell parents with the full confidence when they moved in, I know who's here on a regular basis. Or your guest, your other tenant deserves safety too. So if you're living with someone and you was like, she's got to go, I'm kicking her out. That's crazy. That's a crazy power you could have over that person. And they might not know that, but if they get locked out, I don't know who you are. So thinking deeply about why I'm putting it in the lease so that if I have to enforce it, there's a path to resolution if it's not illegal. And if there's not, then you would have to be removed. And this last tenant, it was non-payment. But even with non-payment, we agreed that you would pay this so I can run this building and so I could also get paid. But the resolution was, can we do a payment plan? Here's a bunch of rent relief programs that you can apply to. Here's the unemployment application. So if you lost your job, if you can get an unemployment, I can wait. They pay weekly. Here's some churches in the area that are not rent relief programs like the government, but they've given a few other people money. Here's all of these resources, and I'm willing to sit with you to do it because I know how to do this paperwork now. But I need your pay stubs, right? I need you to bring your social. I need you to sign this document. I can't submit it for you. And even with all of that, if you don't respond or if you don't qualify because you were working and just didn't pay, then yeah, that's the next step.
So would you ever consider gifting a tenant that you have to evict the financial resources to relocate?
No. If it's not a system, then I don't know if I can enforce it equitably. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I would do that. And it's not out of love. This is not like my child. But because it's not a system, I wouldn't want to start it because it can't be sustained. Mm-hmm. It's really important to me to make sure I have systems that can keep going outside of me and past mm-hmm. me. So if I handed it over to a property manager or as people watch me, that they could enact themselves. But if my system is, oh, if someone just can't pay, just pay it for them. Mm-hmm. That's not a system. Mm-hmm.
How do you view the concept of rent control?
I think it's fantastic. I think it needs to go hand in hand with property tax control because that would be the only thing that would really cause a landlord to be mm-hmm. like, I'm stuck mm-hmm. right now because you've raised my taxes past what mm-hmm. I can make mm-hmm. from this property. And with rent control, I can't ask them to leave. So it can't even be like, I'll just move back into the apartment mm-hmm. myself. But I think rent control is awesome.
Can you talk about the value of having like set systems in what you do?
Oh, yeah. I'm real lazy. Oh, I'm so lazy. That's why I struggled in college. My default is to chill. And I'm also a June Cancer. So I am very emotional. And if I didn't have a system to fall back on when I was logical, my emotions would run rampant and it would destroy relationships. It could be very illegal. And so by having a system, it allows you to not have to think in that mm-hmm. moment. I'm on a few accountability calls. And one of the things we realized is like, I can't plan and do at the same time. Those things don't work for Deandra. I have to have the plan first and then I can do it mm-hmm. later. So by planning how I'm going to deal with evictions allows me to work through if she's being rude to me mm-hmm. or if she's crying. It allows me to process if she's a threat physically or is she going to damage the house. It allows me to work through buying a new home. My husband would like to upgrade, but I'm very adamant on we spend no more than 15% of our income. But we're going to say that before you mm-hmm. show me the sunken tub mm-hmm. with the broom for two mm-hmm. in the waterfall. Before you show me the woman cave that mm-hmm. the she shed.
Yeah.
Right? Before you show me that, I know that. So my emotions are not involved with it.
And are you actually able to keep your emotions out? Like you're able to like, I'm not just going to peek at a couple listings and then be like,
oh, truly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My car died in December, just like on the New Jersey Turnpike, just died. And so I need to get a car. And it was like, I have $30,000. Do I have more than $30,000? Yes. I have $30,000. Like, do you want to? I do not. But this one, don't put me in it. I'm not interested. Because it's going to be beautiful. Obviously, I'm going to like it more.
Yeah.
Are you like, of course I'm going to like the Porsche more. I know, so don't even show me.
But that is like such a skill. Like not everyone has that.
But that's part of the system. Part of the system was like, that helped. Of like, yeah. No, if I can't afford it, don't show me. I don't want to see it because obviously I'm going to like it.
As listeners to this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds has the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet. But you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at tmobile.com/now.
Musora is your access to online music lessons for guitar, piano, drums, and singing. This is your chance to reignite some old musical passions or pick up an instrument for the first time. Connect with more than 100 of the world's best teachers and musicians. You'll get 7 days totally free to try it out. And then it's just $30 a month, less than a single private lesson. I mean, why do we do Broken Record? Not just because we love hearing from great musicians. We do it because we think that there is something beautiful about the appreciation of music. Don't you think we need more of that in our lives these days? That's the mission of Musora, to inspire, educate, and connect musicians. Enjoy unlimited personal support, weekly live streams, student lesson plans. It's like having a personal music teacher, only much, much better. Just go to musora.com, M-U-S-O-R-A.com, to start a new musical journey today.
What are your personal financial goals for yourself?
I've kind of hit a spot where I've done what I thought I was going to do. So
you're like, go back to teaching chemistry.
No. Oh, I went back to a classroom the other week and I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Not for $40,000. Not again. So every year I kind of around this time in June, spend time kind of looking at money, looking at where I am. What are my next steps? This is the first year where I don't feel like I have this burning desire to make more. I don't feel like that's the only way for me to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to help more people make money. A few years ago, or for a couple of years, I was doing joint ventures where like crowdfunded money to mm-hmm. flip it and do stuff. And I would like to do more of that, but bigger properties mean a lot more work and got to set up those systems if I'm going to do that. I want to do more long form content. Like TikTok was really awesome for getting people to know me mm-hmm. and know what I do. But now I have an opportunity to be like, so let's really talk about the down payment programs for you. Let's really talk about like the Wisconsin tenant landlord laws. Like how do you sue your landlord, or how can you get sued because like you was wrong?
What's your net worth?
A million-ish, couple million. I haven't done it in a while. There was a point, I know I crossed the million mark when I hit 30
properties.
30 years old.
Oh.
Yes. Sorry. When I hit 30 years old, I wow. know I crossed the million mark because mm-hmm. it was like, oh, okay. Like there's a lot of equity. I'm paying down stuff. And then it kind of, and no, you know, it was probably 31-ish because it was that 2021 period where all properties were kind of just skyrocketing in value. So it was like, oh, just hold on and see where this lands.
And do you still have debt on your properties?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I didn't pay them off.
Like how much?
Probably about $400,000.
Okay. How much savings do you have?
You mean like in my checking account? Like in my like liquid I could touch?
Like,
or?
I don't know. Like everyone has just like some people have like an emergency savings account that's like, this is stashed away. I'm not going to touch it. Other people have like, I'm saving for a thing and that's what this money is for. Some people don't.
I keep no more than $100,000 liquid just because there's no reason to keep that much liquid. So I would like pay something off or shift it to stocks or like find something to buy to put it in or flip it. Yeah, I don't keep too much liquid.
Yeah, I mean, $100,000 liquid is amazing.
Like, I heard it. I heard when it came out. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. And is that like...
That's what's going on.
I don't want to keep, like, you know, because when you have more... Yeah. So is that, do you consider that joint with your husband? Or,
oh, yeah.
But is it like it's yours, though? Or
no, I think it's mine because he doesn't spend.
Yeah.
And that's part
but
of what.
But is it only in your name or?
Some are in the company's names. And so they're not in either of our names. But it's liquid that doesn't have like a purpose right now. You know, you like you keep it sitting there in case maybe something happens. But you can always pull from it to buy something else if you're going to start a new LLC.
What does enough look like to you?
I don't think I have a number. As much as I have a lifestyle, I never want my husband or I to have to go to work at a job we hate to pay bills. Like a lot of the big purchases I buy now are in cash so that, again, we are not putting this weight on ourselves to have to work at places that we hate, to have to do things that we dislike in order to like not get stuff taken from us.
And it sounded like you had an ability early on, at least, to live way below your means. Do you still have that ability now?
For sure.
And but do you also splurge on things? And if so, and what?
It's cash. And that's like that's that really important part to me. It's like, so if you want something, it's cash.
Yeah, you pay for it in cash.
So it's not, it's not financing this lifestyle. The only debt we should have is our house. The only new debt, excuse me, we should have is our house. Yeah, I think I really could go back, which is why I try to buy things in cash and not finance. And I'm loving the process and the freedom more than I love the stuff. And sometimes I question myself of like, am I gaslighting myself? Do I actually like nice things? And I'm just convincing myself that like it's terrible or do I actually not like it? But really try to say, I like the lifestyle more than I like the stuff it brings me. So if I can keep that lifestyle, then that's what I'm working towards, not the fancy X, Y, and Z.
And is it real estate forever for life? Or are there other topics, other things you want to do with your talent?
Right now it's real estate. Like I told you, the curation of social media is this balance when you want to teach. And I don't trust, as much as business-minded as I am, because remember, I make money, I don't trust myself with some of the other things I'm interested in to not like pimp them out. And I need hobbies. And hobbies mean I can't make money from them.
Yeah.
And that is a hard thing to say to myself.
Wait, what are the hobbies that you would like maybe want to make money off of, but you stop yourself?
Like doing decorative stuff around my house. Like every moment of my life cannot be monetized. And that is something that like, DeAndre, I know you're Jamaican, but every moment of your life cannot be monetized. That is a crazy thing to be at.
What is the decorative stuff you do around your house?
Or just like, I want to try some new wallpaper, or I want to like try painting, or I want to like, I don't know, can we put in like a wood installation or can we do this? And I'll get a saw and be like, they could sponsor me. How do I do this video?
Yeah. DeAndre, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to Other People's Pockets. If you like the show, please tell a friend and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Word of mouth and reviews really help us out. Other People's Pockets is written and hosted by me, Maya Lau. It's produced by me along with Joy Sanford and Dan Gallucci. Production help from Angela Vang. Our executive producers are me along with Jane Marie and Dan Gallucci. A special thanks to Home Offices / Playrooms. Other People's Pockets is a co-production of Pushkin Industries and Little Everywhere. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love this show, consider subscribing to Pushkin Plus, offering bonus content and ad-free listening across our network for $4.99 a month. Look for the Pushkin Plus channel on Apple Podcasts or at pushkin.fm. You can sign up for Pushkin newsletters at pushkin.fm. Find me on Twitter at Maya Lau or on Instagram and TikTok at It's Maya Money. And we would love to hear your voices. This week, we want to know, with inflation going crazy, what's something in your daily life that has gotten insanely expensive? Whether it's a burrito that costs $15 or a super expensive car payment, how has inflation affected what you buy and what you feel you can do in life? Leave us a voicemail at 323-540-4255. That's 323-540-4255, or record a voice memo and send it to otherpeoplespockets@gmail.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.